Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
Well, we're continuing in our new series entitled White Flag, The Power of Surrender. And throughout the series, we're really talking about things that are counterintuitive to us. In other words, they don't come naturally. They run contrary to our human nature and to our culture. When you think about surrender, when you think about losing, it's just not something that is welcomed or esteemed in our culture. In the world of sports, for instance, think of all the sayings that have come across the lips of those involved in sports for years. I remember Al Davis, the late owner of the Oakland Raiders, he coined a phrase that became a mantra for his football team. He said, "Just win, baby. Just win." And I don't know who was the first one to say this, but I've heard it repeated by many. Losing is not an option. Losing is not an option. The great Vince Lombardi, legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, said this: winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. But my favorite of all the sports quotes about winning came from a baseball player. He was a catcher. His name was Leo Durocher. Anybody ever heard of Leo Durocher? Yeah, here's what he said, quote, "I never did say that you can't be a nice guy and win. I said that if I was playing third base and my mother rounded third with the winning run, I'd trip her up." I mean, that's just how important winning is. Winning in our culture is everything. And it becomes the great paradox for the Christ follower. Because for the Christ follower, only through losing control, surrendering to Christ, can we be victorious. Last week, Pastor Milt talked about surrendering our pride to the Lord. Well, we're going to talk today about something so basic, so fundamental, that it changes everything in our lives. There are two questions that every person alive today and every person really who has ever lived, these two questions, whether they realize it, whether it's conscious or subconscious, there are two questions every person is seeking to answer personally for themselves. Two questions that form the basis of life. And these two questions are these: who am I and why am I here? Who am I, and why do I even take up space on planet Earth? And how you answer those two questions and how you act upon your answers will shape and transform the course and the quality of your very life. And many people today in our culture try to answer those questions, who am I and why am I here, through the obtaining of things, of money, of material things, of gaining wealth, that if you gain wealth, then you are someone, you are important, you have meaning. Or perhaps it's through power or prestige or position or some degree of influence and notoriety, they begin to think of themselves related to what they have obtained. And yet that becomes an empty basis for trying to discover the meaning of life and the source of your own identity. Now, I realize today that most of you here in the main worship center, most of our friends there in the Resonate service, most of those who are watching this service online or recorded version of it through our website, most of you are Christ followers already. You remember a time where you crossed that line. You stepped across the line of faith. You opened your heart in faith to Jesus Christ, and you committed to Him to follow Him for your life. You are a Christ follower. But I know there are some here in this room, here in the Resonate service, watching online, I know there are some who are not Christ followers. And let me say to you, if you're not a Christ follower, I don't want you to feel like an outsider. You're not. You are welcome here. We pray every week that you will come, because that's a part of, a very important part of why our church exists. In fact, our mission statement is to engage people to become Christ followers. And so if we don't have those who are not yet Christ followers to come, we can't engage them. We're glad you're here. But I want you to understand something today, and I'm not going to make this statement with any intent to insult you or to be discourteous, but I just want to tell you what I believe is the truth, and it's this. It will be an empty pursuit to seek to find purpose in life apart from God. It just doesn't lead where you want it to lead. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you can't be a good moral person if you're not a Christ follower. You can. According to what the society or the culture would think, you can be a good moral person. I'm not saying that you cannot do good to help people if you're not a Christ follower. In fact, we've seen this in the aftermath of the hurricane. People of all different faiths, people of no faith whatsoever, people stepping up to do good to help people. And that's always a good thing. We're glad to see it. But what I'm saying to you is this. If you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not been reconciled to the Heavenly Father through faith in Christ, you cannot know, you will never discover the purpose for which your Creator created you. You will never fully understand the reason that you were placed on planet Earth apart from God. And I wish I had an abundance of time to unfold this to you, but someone has done a far better job than I of doing that. There is a book that I want to recommend to you, a book that I believe every Christ follower should read. In fact, more people have read this book than any other book that's ever been published except the Bible. And I believe if you're a Christ follower and you have not read this book, you ought to read it. It will change your life. The title of this book is The Purpose-Driven Life. Pastor Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern California, first wrote this book more than 20 years ago. It's been updated with a lot of high-tech innovations that you can access through the revised version, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's set out in 40 daily readings, and Pastor Rick does a marvelous job of helping you understand that the reason you were placed on planet Earth has everything to do with your Creator, with God. I want to read to you a quote from his book. Listen to this, Rick Warren. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. You ought to read this book. You can order it through our bookstore. I'm going to give away this copy to this man right here. Come get it, brother. You know you're going to get a free book today, did you? Read that book. 40 days, it will change your life. You cannot know your purpose in life apart from God. You cannot understand who you are, your identity, until you are transformed through a relationship with Christ, through faith in Him. And I want to say to you today, whether you are not yet a Christ follower or whether you are a Christ follower who has not yet understood what I'm trying to unpack today, you will never know who you are apart from your identity in Christ. Here's our big idea for today. The one thing I hope you'll remember if you forget everything else I say today, here it is. You cannot know who you are until you know whose you are. You will never know who you are until you know whose you are. For you see, Scripture is more than just a book that tells you how to go to heaven and escape hell. Scripture is the divine narrative of the greatest story ever told, how God, who created all that there is and created the human race and created you, understood that you would need to be adopted into his family, and that through faith in his son, you could be a part of his forever family by being a son or daughter of God. No one understood this better than the Apostle Paul. Now, if you don't know Paul's story, let me just tell you, at one time he was known as Saul. And when he was known as Saul, he was the greatest enemy of Christianity the world had ever seen. The Christian faith was in its early days, and Paul was championing an effort to try to extinguish it. He was complicit in the arrest and the imprisonment and the execution of many of those early followers of Christ. He had set out on a personal mission to destroy Christianity until one day he had an encounter with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, and his life forever changed. He became a new person. And he began to describe in the book of Romans what it means to be a child of God. If you have your Bibles, open it to Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. Romans chapter 8. There are many familiar verses in that chapter. We're going to begin with chapter 14. And I want you to follow me as I work my way through the narrative about what it means to be a son or daughter of God. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, Paul begins this passage by helping us know ways that we can be confident of who we are as children of God. Long ago, I used to ask people often, are you a Christian? Until I came to realize that that term has become almost ambiguous or vague in its meaning. People have strange ideas about what being a Christian is. Some people think if you're born in America, a Christian nation, you're automatically a Christian. And I want to say to them, being born in America doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage makes you an automobile. That's not how it works. And so here at Magnolias First, we've kind of replaced that term, though we still use the term Christian some. We've kind of interchanged that with a word that's a better translation of the original Greek word, and it means disciple or Christ follower. And so we say, are you a Christ follower? And Paul is saying, if you are a Christ follower, if you are a child of God, here is one way you can know. Is God's Spirit actively at work in your life? Is the Spirit of God doing something on an everyday, ongoing, continual, life-altering basis in your life? For the Scripture teaches that if you have become a child of God through faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit becomes personal to you. He actually comes in a way that's hard to explain, but he comes to live within you. He comes to inhabit your personhood, and he changes your identity. And so you are no longer a distant, alienated sinner from God. You are now his very own child. So much so that you have an intimate relationship, the kind that a little child has with his earthly father that would cause him to call him daddy. In that tender way. In fact, there's a term in this next verse that could very easily be translated with that intimacy and tenderness of a child, daddy. Look at it, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. For a lot of people, their Christianity is a bondage of fear. That's not true Christian faith. No, instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him, here's that term, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Daddy. Verse 16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And it is the presence and the activity of the Spirit of God in the life of the Christ follower that confirms and reminds us who we are and to whom we belong. And that matters. Look at verse 17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. We inherit all that he has. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Wow, think about that. We have the inheritance of the glory of God. That's an awesome, overwhelming thought. And we really would like it if that verse would just stop right there. Heirs of God's glory. God's glory. That sounds awesome. Pour it on me, God. More and more glory. I'll take all you want to give. But the verse doesn't stop there. Look at it, Christ follower. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. In other words, there is a cost to be a Christ follower. There is a responsibility with being a follower of Christ. Now listen to me. If you're someone who wants to build your identity, who wants to base your self-image on everybody liking you or what you think they think of you, then you're not going to deal well with the suffering of Christ, with the cost of being a Christ follower. Because it means as a Christ follower, you're willing to take a stand when it's not popular. You're willing to believe and to do what is right, whether it is popular or not. It means you're willing to do what's right when everybody around you is saying right is wrong and wrong is right. There's a cost. Now, that doesn't mean that you're doomed to a life of persecution and miserable existence, not at all. No, it's exactly the opposite. Look at what Paul says in verse 18. Yet, even though there's a cost, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. He's saying if you're a Christ follower, if you base your identity in life, your purpose in life on being a son or a daughter of God, whatever you have to suffer, whatever you endure, whatever you sacrifice, there will come a time later on when you will look back on that experience and say, that was hard back then, but it was so worth it. I couldn't see it then, but I see it now. It was so worth it. And beyond this life, there will be an eternal reward for being his son or daughter that is beyond our imagination. Listen, if you're a Christ follower, if you finally get this, if it finally dawns on you what this means, if the reality of who you really are in Christ captures you, it changes everything. I want you to follow this sentence. It's a little long, but follow it with me. Look, to understand intellectually and emotionally that you are a child of God will radically transform every part of your life. It means that you come to understand that you live in his care. It doesn't mean you won't experience difficulty, but it means you will never be beyond his care. It means that you come to believe that you can trust him. Even when you don't understand, he is trustworthy. It means that you come to know that he will never abandon you. You will never be alone. You will never be forsaken. You will never be apart from his presence and his care. The apostle came to realize this, and he expressed it in a way that none of us could ever match. Look at verse 35 of Romans 8, verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Does it? Of course not. Verse 36 says, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, listen, understand, life in this fallen world will be hard. There are preachers preaching today the prosperity gospel that says, listen, if you have enough faith, you can have God's favor, which means that you won't ever have to experience difficulty. You will always be healthy, and you'll always find riches. You'll always be wealthy. Listen, folks, the Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have, the old King James word was tribulation. It means hard times. There are going to be times in this fallen world in which we live. It will be hard. Hurricanes come. People will disappoint us. People will betray us. People we love will get sick and even die. Things will happen in this life. But when those hardship comes, does that mean God's given up on us? That he's turned his back on us? That he's abandoned us? Look at what Paul says, verse 37. No. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. What does that even mean, overwhelming victory? It means that even when those hard times come, if we look through the eyes of faith, we will see God's hand in it. I mean, haven't you seen this in the aftermath of the hurricane? Horrible thing that a natural disaster, a storm, brought upon so many thousands of people in our area. But have you looked at what's been happening afterwards? How people have stepped up to help? How God's people especially have been the hands and feet of Jesus? How people who wouldn't have ever had anything to do with each other beforehand have joined hands to help one another and to bless one another? Listen, it doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but it means God's good redemptive hand will be at work even in the worst of times, even in the worst of experiences. Despite all these things, victory, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And that even in the lonely, confusing times, when for the moment you can't see or feel God, you can know through faith he has not abandon you. The Apostle Paul went through more trauma and hardship and suffering than any one of us has ever experienced. He was beaten. He was snake bitten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked, and on and on and on. And Paul, who went through all of that, here's what he came to believe with all his heart. Verse 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And just in case we didn't understand what nothing meant, Paul describes it in some of the most beautiful language of Scripture. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear me, Christ follower, this is what it means to be a child of God. This is what it means to be God's daughter or God's son. This is what it means when you surrender trying to base your identity or your self-image on what people think, and you understand it should be based on who you are as a child of the living God. And when you begin to live in the power of who you are and who he created you to be, there are some things that come into clear focus. Let me name a few. First of all, you'll understand you were created to be reconciled to God the Father through faith in His Son. You'll come to understand that once you were separated and alienated from God, you were far from God, your future was bleak, you had no hope, but that He cared so much about you that he refused to let that stand. He sent his only son, his innocent, sinless son, so that he might make a way for you when there was no way, and that you could be reconciled back to him as the Father through faith in his Son. And it was not because you earned it. In fact, there was no way you could ever earn it. Instead, it was a gift. It was a free gift. You couldn't earn it. All you had to do was receive it. He created you to be reconciled back to him. And then when that was true, secondly, you became a new person as an adopted child of God. Knowing that you would surrender to him in faith, he created you to transform you and to adopt you into his own family, so that that old life of being alienated and separated from him, it's gone. It's forever in the past. It can't ever come back. The enemy can never capture your soul. You have a new identity. You are a new person in Christ. And then thirdly, you come to understand you were created to walk in loving obedience. Now here's the thing. World religions tell you, here are the set of rules and regulations. If you live up to them to a certain standard, maybe you'll get to heaven. And they sell that to their followers, and they struggle all their lives, never knowing if they'll make it to whatever they teach heaven is. But you know what we know? That we are not under the oppression and the bondage of rules and regulations. We are free to walk in loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that he will love us, and he will guide us, and he will pick us up when we fall. He will forgive us when we mess up. He will help us to make it through every day in life. And we can live not in the bondage and oppression of rules and regulations. We can live in freedom without fear and without guilt, and with the confidence he will never lead us astray. And you will come to understand that you were created to reflect his love and his light so that others would see him in you. Now, here's what I want you to understand. People apart from Christ spend all of their lives trying to figure out something that's worth living for, something that's worthy of them dedicating their life to some kind of cause, some kind of goal, some kind of thing out there that would be worth their life. But as a follower of Christ, as a son or a daughter of God, you have become an ambassador of the King. You represent your Father, and the love and the light of Jesus shines through you. And while others spending their lives trying to obtain things that will pass away, you are investing in things that are eternal, things that matter, things that will never fade away. And then last, you were created to find happiness and contentment by fulfilling your divine purpose. Listen, people are searching for happiness. They just want to be happy. They're looking to find some way to be happy. But when you, as a follower of Christ, really understand who you are, God gives you something better than just happiness. He gives you joy. And it supersedes the struggles of life. So let me ask you a question as I bring this message to a close. Are you ready? Are you ready to give up trying to figure out who you are and why you're here on your own? Are you ready to abandon the way that those who do not know Christ live their lives, trying to gain things or make people think they're something so they'll feel better about themselves? Are you ready to discover who you are and why you were placed on planet Earth? Then I want to challenge you with these three next steps. Number one, I want to challenge you to abandon thinking of yourself based on what others think about you. This is especially a trap for the young. Abandon, let go of thinking about yourself based on what you think others think about you. When you come to understand who you are in Christ, you are set free from that. They can think what they want to think. I know what God thinks about me. I know who I am. I don't have to prove anything to you or anyone else. I know I am loved by the Father. Abandon thinking of yourself based on what you think others think about you. Number two, begin today to tell yourself, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Do that today and repeat it every day for the rest of your life. I am a child of God, until that sinks into the deepest part of your psyche and you understand more than anything else that defines you, you are a child of God, of the living, eternal Creator. Tell yourself that today and repeat it every day of your life. Number three, with God's grace and power, determine to live up to who you really are. Can't do it on your own, but with God's grace, with God's power, with the Spirit of God, live up to your inheritance. Live up to your identity. Refuse to live below the level of the royal priesthood of the living God. Live up to who you are. It's the life you were called to. It's the life you were created for. It is your destiny as a son or daughter of God. I want you to get this, brothers and sisters, because you cannot know who you are until you know whose you are. Would you pray with me? Lord, somehow, I pray that you would take my feeble efforts to communicate this truth, and I pray that you would plant it deep within the heart, deep within the mind of every single Christ follower that hears my voice today. Help them not to fall into the trap of the culture of thinking of themselves only as they think others might think of them. Help them not to base their sense of worth or identity based upon achievement or obtaining material things. Help them instead to base every part of who they are and their understanding of their purpose in life upon their identity in Christ, so that they will understand they are royalty. They are a son or a daughter, a prince or a princess of the King of the ages, and that they would be able, through the grace and power of God, to live up to that calling, to live up to that identity, to fulfill that purpose for which they were created. I pray this for each and every person in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody.